Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, here with
Katie Singing Eagle
and Mark Matheny. Want to welcome everybody to the show. Hope everybody's doing good. How you guys doing?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Running quickly today.
Yeah?
Running quickly.
All right. Well, folks, we want to welcome you to the show, and here we go.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax. Grab a sandwich. Enjoy your lunch.
Grab a sandwich.
Some of the coolest things on the internet.
Let me see that.
Food for your soul.
That,
food for your heart. Now on to the show.
Welcome to With Insights Radio again. We're back with Lunchtime Wisdom with the three clowns. So how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's going on? Put on your DJ faces.
Hey, we got Anonymous in the house.
Anonymous is in the house.
Anonymous will be filling up downtown tomorrow. I might be one of those.
Oh, okay.
Anonymous
awesome.
People.
What better way to celebrate the day after Election Day?
Yeah, I would have been better during Election Day personally, but that would have some different kind of
message. Well, it's actually starting. Tomorrow is the... The 5th of November is an auspicious date that has lots of meaning.
Well, do explain.
Yes.
So now you brought it up.
Remember the 5th of November.
Oh, okay.
Gunfire, treason, and plot.
Yes.
I can think of no reason the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. From the greatest movie ever, V for Vendetta.
Oh, okay.
If you have not seen it, must immediately go watch it.
That's a great movie.
It is. It is the greatest movie ever, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to, there's an event called Guy Fawkes Day, F-A-W-K-E-S,
mm-hmm.
Which happened in the UK a long time ago. There was actually a... citizen who tried to enact some political change through some rather interesting maneuvers, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually what he was trying to do was help free his people from the tyranny oppression of his government, and the masses, often being sheeple, took that the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have Guy Fawkes Night where they burn him in effigy. So people over there actually completely missed the point of him trying to free themselves from the tyranny which has been set upon all of us. And so they actually burn in effigy the man who was trying to help them, while they all blissfully go back to sleep, pretending their government is there to help and protect them.
Hmm.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, it's called Burning Man. That's what they do in Burning Man. That's kind of the concept of Burning Man.
Okay.
You know, going out into the wilderness, the desert, and you know, realize that your government doesn't really care about you unless you pay your taxes or you're an indentured servant to the system. So, thank you for sharing that. We appreciate that.
I have a longer spiel than that if we get
bored. And you can listen to that on Mark the Rabbit Hole at Friday at 11 a.m. And hopefully we can get that all straightened out with your show. And
rants
will
be
work.
Included.
What's that?
Said rants will be included Friday.
Oh, yes. And I like Fluff Bottom.
Yeah.
Fuzz Bottom.
Victoria Fuzz Bottom. She was on our show a little bit yesterday.
I heard that.
Yeah, she was trying to commandeer our system. I had to slap her around a little bit.
This may end up being the Fuzzbottom Network.
It could be.
It's a plot for an overthrow.
she's
by the this is all getting very Kubrick-ish now. Kind of, like was it 2001, A Space Odyssey, where the,
computer
Hal,
takes over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hal tries to commandeer the navigation
time
of the ship by.
Awaken.
There's my girl. My trusty assistant, Victoria Fuzzbottom.
Yes. And she does appear from time to time and throws her little, you know, tidbits in there. And we just, we laugh sometimes because it kind of comes out of the blue. So you hear a voice just appear, it's her.
It's like the mermaid on the Starbucks cup. Since Starbucks is taking over, don't you think they might be a little something in the coffee?
Oh, yeah. There's some...
conspiracy theory?
Yeah, there's a dot on the wall, man.
You always wonder, you know.
Well, it kind of brings me to the point where Katie and I were talking about earlier. Today, I saw a post by, what was it, from Prince, what's his name? Prince E?
Prince Pa, or...
Prince, well, Prince A, or something like that. EA, or something like that. But anyhow, he had posted on his Facebook page a video. And the video pretty much, what it pretty much said was why he got rid of most of his Facebook friends, or just friends in general. He's talking about how friends can, you know, people talk about GMOs and how they're toxic. Well, you know, people are like GMOs and they can be toxic too.
Mm-hmm.
They can affect your life and, you know, kind of bring you down. So, and I put it on my wall, Eddie Garcia, if you want to check it out.
I saw that. In the immortal words of ELO, don't bring me down, Bruce.
Don't bring me down.
But, you know, it's important, you know. I mean, like I was taught a long time ago when I was learning business, you know, schools and stuff and different things. They talked about these things, where you're going to be in the next 5 years. They would always say, you're the books you read, the people you hang out with, are kind of dictate where you'll be in the next 5 years. So it's kind of what you put in your head and what you receive from the people that are around you and that love you. They're super important, you know. Junk in, you know, we think about food and we talk about mm-hmm. food, but we put up with a lot of crap. We put up with a lot of junk from people. You know, we put up a lot of, you know, oh, well, they're going to change. You know, they're going to get better. You know, oh, it's just them, you know. You know, it gets to a point where you might have to say, hey, you know what? And I'm really not digging you. I like you, but, you know, I don't think we should hang out. And I never really had to truly say that except for maybe a couple people mm-hmm. just in that last few couple years. But most people fall away when they're not in alignment with you, you know, or agree with
Agreed.
The things you do. So that helps a little bit. That's something mm-hmm. about the human nature. But there are some people who just don't understand and just don't get it. You know, they're gossiping, talking, and, you know, you just know that you don't want to be around that sometimes. You know, I mean,
yeah.
everybody has a tendency to talk a little bit about something. But I guess we should know where there's a point, where there's a limit.
Like you change the subject or try to cut them off or something, mm-hmm. let them know in a subtle way that what they're talking about is something that you really don't want to hear. You know, going on and on about someone. Because something I do is when I'm with a group of people, and I hate to say mostly ladies, if I'm in a group of ladies and they're talking about someone else, and I say, well, have you talked to that person lately, or have you called them, or see what their side of the story is? Oh, no. Well, I think you should call them and talk to them. And if you have a problem with them, do what, go with two or three people and try to resolve it if you have to. Mm-hmm. But don't talk about them when they're not here to defend themselves. And I've done that several times. Just like I was in a ladies group in New York, and they were talking about some preachers or evangelists or these people, and they're people that I have met personally, mm-hmm. some preachers, and they were talking about them like a dog, and I stood up. I couldn't take it. I said, you all are a bunch of old biddies, like it says in the Bible, gossipers and whoremongers, and you're no better than any other sin or person that talks about, and you're talking about them. I said, you're just as bad as they are. Since you're judging and talking about them. Oh, we didn't mean to. Oh, no. And I got up, put what I was doing down, because we were making crafts and doing things for something that was supposed to go overseas. I put the stuff down and said, I can no longer associate with you all. And I walked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and done something else. And when I went to go get on the subway, there was a couple ladies from the group that were on the same train as me, and they stopped me and said, "We're so sorry. We apologize for. Please come back to our group sometimes. We didn't mean to do all that, you know, gossiping. We didn't know what we were. It was just something we do. We didn't really. And you opened our eyes to what we were doing." And I said, "I will." And I did go back another time and visit with the ladies' group, but it was already done for me. Because I don't get offended easily, but I'm not one for a lot of gossip and talking about someone who can't defend themselves or people aren't there, especially if it's done in a church or a group where Scripture says to always be mindful and watch yourself. So, sorry not harping on anybody's church out there or group, yeah. But watch yourself. And don't judge, don't be so easily to judge and gossip about people, especially if they're not there to defend themselves or you haven't personally talked to them about the situation that's being talked about.
And it's garbage in, garbage out. You know, it's like in the video it talked about, do I go to your house and throw garbage on top of your bed? You know, I mean, you know, you take it in. And sometimes we just take it in subconsciously and we don't even really think about it. And we can cut, like you did, you kind of caught yourself in a situation, but you knew well enough to get out of it, the situation. And those are what I call healthy limits and boundaries, creating those healthy limits and boundaries and knowing what your boundaries are and you know, what's your limit. You know, how much will you take? How much are you able to absorb into you? Because, you know, even though we have a lot of room in that head, you know, and we only use, 10-20% of our brain power capacity at any given time, you know, there's a lot of room in there to fill up in those file cabinets that are kind of open. And we just, those things play around. They play in our head. And then, you know, all those things manifest into our body, too. You know, we hear that recording over and over. We don't even know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we took it in. It's like putting nuclear waste in your backyard, and you're going, "Oh, I don't know why I'm sick," you know. And you're glowing green, you know.
Yeah.
No matter how much you the incantations of love and light coming through your house, but you know, there are certain things that just affect the body, and there are certain things that affect the spirit. And you know, they both are two different. They're two different things. You know, the spirit is one thing, and the body's one. They're two temples that have to work together. You know, one temple is not functioning properly. It's kind of hard for the other one to supersede, or you know, but we do find a way. We do find a way to make a healthy balance with that. And I think what happens as human beings, and these are all my opinions, this is what's rolling around in my head, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm, you know, just... But I believe that, you know, sometimes we cripple ourselves more than anybody cripples us, you know, with our beliefs and the things that we put in our head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that were going on here this week. Assisted death with a young lady who, you know, she ended her life, and I listened to the video, and I was really curious. I knew she was terminal, you know, according to what the doctors had told her. But I was curious, you know, how much she made it more profound, you know, made it even more powerful. She was probably going to die no matter what. I mean, probably that was probably the end result, and she just didn't want to go through all the suffering and put people through. You know, that's her choice, and I'm not discounting her choice, what she did. What I'm asking is the human power in the mind and how much more she amplified her sickness. You know, did she make herself worse? Did she keep herself sick? Could she have healed herself? Is there a possibility? Are there miracles? Do these things exist? You know, because we do come to a point where the temple just doesn't function. And just that's just our journey. That's where we have to be, and that's where we go. I don't know, Mark. What do you think?
Yeah. That's a big topic. Mm-hmm. In general, I mean, with what you're originally saying there, I mean, I used to be obsessed at times with the psychological motivations of others, just because I'm kind of wired that way with the evolutionary astrology and everything. It's all in kind of digging into, you know, finding what people's wound is and that kind of thing. And then as far as, you know, and then... It's really easy to sit and judge on the outside what somebody's going through, and it's, I think I used the analogy last week about opening a book and turning to page 127 and trying to, I think you're right, though, that it would be, if I had a terminal illness or something, and I don't know the degree of pain she was in,
right,
or whatnot. I mean, I can see both sides of that where, A, would I just want to get out of my physical body, which I'm not always that damn comfortable in anyways, mm-hmm. and prolong the, because it is, it's, I think on some levels it's harder for the people around someone like that
mm-hmm.
at times, because the person who it's happening to is in great pain and whatnot, I'm sure, and but sometimes it's harder, it's really hard to watch somebody suffer too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I would, I can resonate with her feeling of, I don't want the people around me to sit and watch me wither away every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that level. But to mm-hmm. what you're saying too about, I mean, I would continually, I believe most physical illnesses come from a mental, psychological, emotional
mm-hmm.
blockage. That's what I have found. As you, if you can fix the emotional, mental blockages, I have found in situations that the physical, because you know, I believe everything starts with the spiritual, dimensional level of things and feeds through down into the physical part. So, if I were in that position, I would continually push, run thoughts through my head, such as, I am healthy, I am, you know,
mm-hmm.
I am not succumbing to this, I am, and so that's, again, you know, and that's a stubborn part of me that I'm very easygoing and laid back pretty much on the outside and stuff, but when I'm challenged, there's another part of the Wascally Wabbit that comes out,
yeah.
And a few people have seen this, but I don't, when it's something I feel really strongly or really believe in, I don't go down very easy.
Yeah.
And I, in most circumstances, are a pretty good debater on
mm-hmm.
most topics that I'm interested in.
Well, the reason I brought that up to you guys was because, you know, there are some physical things that just come along with us, you know, that are mapped into our DNA, things that just come, you know, this is natural things. But I think we can overcome those DNA mappings and those things
mm-hmm.
that come through our system, you know, those miasms that are carried through. But, you know, sometimes we plant a seed in somebody, and that seed, you know, there's all kinds of seeds that take many, many years for them to, you know, actually sprout and to, you know, break ground. Seeds just don't grow. They have a different, all seeds have different cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings have, when we get seeds planted into our head, these little ideas in our mind, you know, even the most subtle thing, you're not worth anything. You're just a pain in my neck. You're a pain in my head, you know. You know, not... McFly, you know, not going to, you know, there's a lot of things that we say sometimes people out of cuteness and niceness, and we're trying to be, you know, give them a pet name or just trying to motivate them. But, you know, some people don't work that way, man.
Yeah.
Some people just don't, you know, I, as a coach, especially with kids, when I coach sports, I don't try to give them any pet names. I don't try to give them any, you know, I don't try to use those type of words because I find that the other kids start to use it. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, then it comes across differently. I try to treat them just as they're individual. They are a person, and their purpose is to help the team however they can. If your name is Joe, you're Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You may be Little Joe, but, you know, I want Little Joe to think that he's little and, you know, whatever. You know, these things play on people, you know, and it's just funny how these things are, you know. I remember when I was a kid, they used to call me Shrimpy. But, you know, I was like, I hated it. You know, they come up to me and they put their arm on top of my head like a stool, and they'd walk with me. You know, I'd be walking. You know, at first it was cool. You know, it was no big deal. But then I got tired of it because people who I didn't know were starting to do it. And that's when I became a superhero, you know, advocate for the ones that are weak and can't fight for themselves. And, man, anybody would do that to me, I'd just get right in their face and just, you know, I was on. You know, I was that kid. I was the kid who beat up the bullies. Or, I don't know, maybe I was the bully to the bullies. I don't know. But, you know, I didn't like the bullies bullying the kids. So I, no matter if I got my butt kicked, it didn't matter. We're going. We're going to go because you're not going to do that to this person. And that's kind of where I was at that time when I was a little kid. I just didn't like that injustice. I didn't appreciate that. But I was super fast, you know, and I was really small, so I can get into places, you know, the other kids could. So I had my own little gifts, too, you know, at that time, besides the spiritual stuff that was developing inside me. But, you know, families are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And families could be the worst because they're the ones that think that they're allowed to call you this or tell you this or be up front with you. Yeah, we'd like them to be up front, but we also like them to respect, you know, our space and who we are. And
yeah.
I think, you know, I remember, I know... In Latin culture, it's the worst because, you know, they come up with all kinds of names for you. I mean, you know, when you're bad, you're not this name anymore. You're this, you know, you become that. And you start to carry on all these different hats and all these different things. Well, if I do that, I'm going to be this. If I'm doing this, you know, it's really tough. It's really tough. And, you know, in my family, it was hard because it was just like Dad would say, yeah, because of me, we have everything, the family. You know, the family is strong because of me, you know. You know, it's just kind of machismo is what it's called. You know, so a lot of us, you know, carried those burdens for a long time going, wow, we can't do anything with my dad. But we never said it. But in the back of our mind, it was playing. Maybe Dad's right. You know, maybe I'm not getting it because maybe he's the only one. You know, you don't even know you're thinking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, after 47 years, I had to kind of cut my dad out of my life in some ways, you know. And it was tough because he's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had to create those healthy limits and boundaries with him. So.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I'm famous for giving people nicknames and things, and then none of them are mm-hmm. mean or I mean they're, you know, affectionate from my view. Maybe I need to reconsider that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying. I just noticed, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes we start to become the nickname. We start to, you know,
right.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't know that Iggy was only... The only reason my name is Iggy, it's a derivative of Ignacio. My real name, my name is Ignacio. But a lot of people didn't want to call me Ignacio because it was too long on the soccer field when I played in college. And they didn't want to call me Nacho because it was, you know, they felt like they were offending me.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to call you Iggy. You know, I'm like, okay, so I morphed into this other, you know, idea
Iggy.
Of Iggy, you know, who's a soccer player. You know, he's still me, but he's a different version of, you know, he's a more adventurous person. He's more outgoing. He's kind of the person you see on Facebook a little bit. He's the person who just likes to explore. Ignacio's very business-like. He's very, you know, behind the scenes. And Nacho's
mm-hmm.
just ornery. And, you know, you don't want Nacho coming out because mm-hmm. he's just, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with Nacho. You
mm-hmm.
know? Give him a beer and he might be trouble. You know, but still it's me, though. It's parts of me. But in these we have these identities like Superman.
Yeah.
You know, when you become mm-hmm. Superman, you know, in the cape and he's in the girl, you know, he's
mm-hmm.
doing his thing. When he goes
your
back
alter
to,
ego.
Yeah, alter egos, yes. Clark Kent comes out and he does his thing. So, but I think we all do that.
Yeah.
And I think all of us need that a little bit as well within healthy, you know,
healthy
boundaries
and stuff.
But the thing is, where's the healthy boundaries? Where's the limits? You know, that's for us to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
If people are walking away from us because we're running around in pajamas and have a cape on, well, that might be a good sign.
It's like something I don't care for is when someone calls me baby. Now, if it's a little older woman or you know grandmotherly type is, hey baby, you know, then that's fine. But I don't like some random guy coming up to me and say, hey baby, you know, that's like get the hell away from me. Sorry, but it's just like baby. I see is one of those random names
mm-hmm.
that guys call you when they can't think of what your really name is,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you've told them five or six times. But it's everybody's baby, you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's just like, I'm not everybody. I'm Katie. And if you can't remember Katie, then call me Miss McNabb. And then there's times where I will tell people that if I'm in a real business situation, to call me this or call me that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call me, you know, I don't tell them. Katie is who I am when I'm not being business-like or in a business
mm-hmm.
situation. Katie is who the real me is.
Yeah.
So, my birth name and all that is more for business and formal, and even being called by my last name, there's places where if someone's really being in a business situation or some kind of situation, being an ass, then they can only call me by my last name. So,
mm-hmm.
and I've had that happen.
Sure.
to where I had to correct them. And, oh, hey, Catherine or something. I'm like, Miss McNabb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know you.
Right.
You know.
Well, it's funny you said that. I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you caught this the other day, when we were at the Itsippi.
Mm-hmm.
There was a boy, a little boy. He was probably 12, maybe. Because he's a big boy. He's a bigger boy. So I'm assuming in his mind, I could kind of pick up he was around 12, 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going there in the chow line. And I hear this, sup. Like, I'm like, are you talking to me? I'm like, yeah, what's up? And I go, how you doing? My name is Iggy Garcia. What's your name? You know, I had him shake his hand. You know, I said, you know, please address me, you know, or ask me what my name is. I'm not, what's up? And I did it in front of Irene, everybody, because, you know, I just felt it was called for. I think it was kind of inappropriate, in my opinion, in that space, that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like to be addressed like that. It kind of takes me back to a place that I remember that I didn't like. So it was like, you know, and I also want to teach this young man, you know, manners.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wanted to teach this young man, hey, you know what? There's ways to address people, especially adults, especially invited elder to someone's home, you know, that is here to do ceremony with your mother and her friends and stuff. So not that I'm trying to look for, you know, accolades here, but you know what? Have a little more respect for... You know.
That's something that I find that's lacking in today's society is the respect children have for adults.
Mm-hmm.
When I was not allowed to call an adult by their first name.
Mm-hmm.
Never allowed to call adult by their first name.
That's changed a lot.
Unless I put sister or brother or mister or miss or something in front of it. I was not allowed to just say, hey, hey, Ignacio,
mm-hmm.
what's that, you know, at 7, 8 years old, or maybe I was allowed to do that once I turned 18 or
mm-hmm.
20, and even then, I respected my mom's friends or her adults or my grandmother's enough to call them mister, put something in front of it, instead of just by, oh, no, I would get popped,
I always
something like that,
say
or
Mr.
got
Matheny
the hard
or
look.
Mr. Mark, you know, and so they tell me, oh, no, don't call me Mark, and they'll say, oh, that's my dad's name. You know,
right.
You know, you hear people say that,
Mr. Smith.
Yeah, until they tell me not to call him that, I will call. You know, I'll say Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. You know, I just find that's just how I was raised.
And when I introduce myself to a child, I say I'm Miss Katie,
mm-hmm.
or I'm Miss, and I want them to address me as such.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like a child calling me just, hey, Katie, or hey, you know. You know, no.
And that's where you're. That's what you want. That's your healthy limits and boundaries.
Yeah.
Right there for you. Another thing.
That sounds kind of strict to some people, but
yeah,
that's the way I was.
Another thing that Susie and I don't do, my wife Suzanne, is we don't use like, daddy and mommy. Like I will never let her call me daddy, and I will never let her. I'll never call her mommy because I already got a mom and I don't need another mom. You know, and it's kind of weird. And I've seen everybody who I've ever seen call. Oh, daddy's home. Here's your daddy. Hi, daddy. How are you? I'm like, that's kind of, for me, that's kind of creeped out. That creeps me out a little bit. It's like, and that's just me, personally. You know, I'm just like.
I get it.
It starts to create something different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody I've ever known who's ever called their husband or spouse mommy or daddy, they've had issues at home. You know, like, issues have developed. It's never failed.
Mm.
You know, and this is just my observation, okay? This isn't a general, like.
Right,
you know,
right.
Scientific, you know, proven
right.
thing. But I've noticed these things in my family. Everybody who calls, you know,
daddy
their spouse, your spouse,
daddy, your
daddy,
mommy,
yeah. Well, they're not married.
Mm-hmm.
They're not together anymore, or they've broken up, or they've had really bad issues. But you know what I'm talking about, right, Mark?
I know exactly what you're saying. I know exactly. You're kind of, like we talked about words having energy and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. That you're kind of. Recasting the role of the other person, kind of, or putting additional energy or things that they're responsible for on there or something. I've not really thought about that, but that's a very interesting point. That's a, 'cause I talk about all, you know, the energy behind words and stuff, but even, you know,
but we're always
like
learning.
I'm saying, I'm not any smarter than anybody else out there. There's a lot of things I
thought you were the smartest man
even.
You knew.
No. No, I seriously doubt that. I just, I've maybe noticed more weird stuff than a lot of people, but
yeah.
But that's good. Even as I get into this stuff, I still need to learn to apply this to other areas of myself. Like I said, with like the nicknames, oh my gosh, my cats have all had like 327 nicknames. I mean, it might be an illness.
But I think nicknames are cool. I think nicknames are cool when people accept the nickname, you know. Mm-hmm. Like my wife, I don't call her Suzanne, so I'll call her Q. You know, like,
okay.
Her name is Q, so she's kind of like my behind-the-scenes person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she'll do things and things.
Her fuzz bottom.
Think. Yeah, she's my fuzz bottom. You have her virtual voice. I have all of her.
Right. Oh, that's not going to go anywhere good.
But, you know,
right,
Miss Fuzzbottom,
right.
Who's the voice of Mark's, you know, virtual
sexy
companion.
Yeah.
Is actually my wife,
English,
which is cool.
Voice.
And big shout out to Susie. She did a tremendous job on those samples. Absolutely. She met us for lunch while we were brainstorming, and all that stuff evolved just sitting there having lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote out this list of phrases and stuff for her, and the words for some of the words for the intro and stuff, and she was great sport and spent some of her, you know, she goes to work at a job and everything, and she spent some of her free time.
Well, let's play the intro so people can hear
her.
It so what your intro sounds like.
All right.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
And that's the intro. Tell us a little bit about your show.
Well, this week I will have the technological errors fixed up, so I've got to apologize to everybody for last week.
Now, you have a computer, right?
I do.
Is it a desktop or laptop?
It's a laptop.
Why don't you bring it here? And, you know, watch you do it, unless you have something else to do. I can babysit you from the backside of the moon.
That might be a good idea. That might be, because you know I've got some kind of weird. I've been thinking about all my issues. Well, I can't think about all my issues, but technology wise, and I think there's something structurally in my apartment that may be the problem.
That can happen
because my landline and my cell phone will cut out at times. Sometimes, like, I'll drop somebody several times in a row. Like, if I'm walking around while I'm talking in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also have noticed in the middle of the day, the bandwidth on my computer is really bad. And sometimes during the day, I get kicked off a lot. And that's what happened last Friday, is I kept getting kicked. That was my first time doing the everything myself, the production in the chat room and the stuff, you know. Being the only, you know, the host on there, so
yeah,
that I know that totally blew up. I probably upset some people.
You got to get that magic flowing, you know. You got to put a little magic.
Abracadabra.
Abracadabra.
I know, just because I got my laptop back. David fixed my laptop, and I couldn't connect to the internet. And then once it connected to the internet on Wi-Fi, it kept cutting off sometimes. So then I had to get out one of the Ethernet cords. And I hooked it to the modem, and then to the laptop. Fine, didn't stop cutting in and out. So
can you do hardline to your modem or not?
Oh, way done. That's what I use.
Okay.
I use that
okay.
over the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
but it might be time to call the cable guy.
Cable guy.
Yeah, it might, because I have all kinds of, like, my landline has not worked the last 4 or 5 days, so I need to get that looked at too. So
it's,
I,
government man.
I have
it's the FBI. They're checking on you.
CIA, NSA, TSA. Another initial.
Yeah. Especially I didn't put the... Well, they don't know who you are. Unless I say.
Oh, they know who I am. Believe me.
Yeah.
Believe me. If there is a list, I am on it.
I'm already on it.
He's on two lists, the aliens and
yes, right, right,
Earth's
right.
List.
I work for the government temporary off and on, and they almost got me full time, but I didn't, you know, after I got my legs operated on, I didn't come back, so, or I told them I didn't want to join them full time, so.
All right.
I'm on some lists.
I want to let everybody know the call-in number is 646-595-3440 if you have any questions you want to talk about and share your thoughts about what we're talking about. And that's 646-595-3440. We're going to go to a little break. We're right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
We are back to Lunchtime Wisdom. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia.
Mark Messini.
Katie Two Crows with a cookie in my mouth.
No, Katie Two Crows. Did you know you said that?
No. Katie singing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Dun, dun, dun. And the plot thickens.
Wrong bird.
All right, let's take a caller. Let's see what they have. If they want to share anything with us. Hello, caller. You're on the air. You have anything you want to share with us? They could just be listening. But they're welcome to join. But all right, I will take that as you're just listening to the show, and we appreciate you tuning in to With Insights Radio and Lunchtime Wisdom with us three. Put you back on hold.
I don't know. David must have been on. Oh, because I spoke of David fixing my computer. So then Two Crows was on my mind. He does the show with us on Monday night. So, sorry about that, y'all. I'm Singing Eagle, not Two Crows.
Oh, Katie. You're funny.
I'm turning 51 soon. I hope I'm not getting old timers disease. Remember before they called it Alzheimer's? They called it old timers.
Old timers disease.
People still call it old timers. Ah, but life is good though, and there's miracles, and I believe in miracles.
I believe in miracles.
You sexy thing.
You sexy thing. Yeah.
I'll let you do it.
And speaking of sexy things, if you're, you know, around 40-something-ish to 60-something, well, 60, not too old, I'm available.
She's available. I'm assuming that's what she's saying.
I believe that is what she is saying.
Are you insinuating something? No,
I'm too much for some people.
Iggy is not available.
No, I'm not.
Iggy's married.
Get it together, Iggy.
She never lets me get rest, does she?
Wake up, Iggy.
Wake up, Iggy. Wake up, Mark. Wake up, Katie.
So, what's on your mind? Anything?
Are you talking to me? Because I know what's on his mind. No, I'm sorry.
No.
A lot.
I'm innocent. I'm always
okay, innocent boy. Give us some astrology.
Okay, so. This.
I'm not so.
I'm going to try not to sound insane. That seems to be increasingly harder for me. Those of you who know me know that I'm already insane, so I don't have to hide it from you. But for the general masses, I will try and sound like a non-crazy person. Be like a crazy person. So we're. had several messages this morning on Facebook asking me what in the hell was going on yesterday. So yesterday, the first half of the day, the moon was in Pisces, and it was void of course, which means the moon stays in a sign for 2.5 days, roughly 60 hours. After the moon has made its last aspect to a planet while it's in each sign, it is then called void of course for that period until it moves into the next sign. So the moon is almost always void of course for at least a little bit of time every 2.5 days. Sometimes it's 2 minutes. sometimes it's 2 hours. Sometimes it'll be like an entire day sometimes. The average is 3 hours or something is probably the average. That's probably the average or the normal as to what it is. So during this time, there's like a drop in energy or intensity. The void, of course, is kind of like a Mercury retrograde in a way, and that it's not a good time to start things or do things that are mm-hmm. really important or to make promises or things like that, because there's no, the moon is kind of out of its power. It's disconnected from its power source until it moves into the next sign.
Mm-hmm.
So just as an example, my eyes aren't so ferocious anymore. So,
is it pretty weird when you're talking to yourself?
Yes. The movement for course 4 or 5 yesterday morning, so made its last aspect from Saturn at 4:05 in the morning. So right after that, the moon was then void of course, and so that lasted until 1:53 p.m. when the moon entered Aries. So anything between 4 a.m. and 1:53 yesterday afternoon, it was kind of a null or void period,
mm-hmm.
where how I use that, and sometimes it's good because there's a lot of intensity out there, so it kind of gives us like a little emotional break to kind of recharge. Now the jump from any planet when it moves from, because anything that's in Pisces then goes into Aries afterwards,
mm-hmm.
that's a big boost. It's a huge shift because Pisces is all, you know, pink clouds and fluffy daydreams, and then Aries is like full, you know,
mm-hmm.
as like going from 0 to 100. You know, if you just go pump on the gas in your car, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the difference from Pisces to Aries. So Pisces is good at creativity and things. Aries' strong point is doing, experiencing. So there's a lot of, I think everyone was kind of tired and sluggish yesterday, the first half of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw like a lot of like anger and stuff kind
shift.
Of pick up right later in the afternoon. And you'll experience this every month when you go from the moon being in Pisces into Aries, because we're on a, you know, roughly a 30-day lunar cycle, 28 and a half.
Okay.
So we're leading up to a full moon now, which will be, the sun is in Scorpio, so the full moon will occur.
Is anything ever in Sagittarius?
Huh?
Or anything ever in Sagittarius?
Oh, yeah, we're coming up
okay,
in a few
cool.
weeks to okay. where late November.
I want to be part of the game.
you'll come up. The inner planets all travel closely together, so
mm-hmm.
we'll have the sun, Venus, and Mercury all in Sagittarius
cool.
shortly. And we just came through we had Mars in Sagittarius for 2 months.
Oh, okay.
That's when everybody was real, you know, real squirrely. And
yeah. I know, I remember.
Squirrely.
I like that word. You always use that a lot.
Yeah, I'm all about squirrels.
Squirrely.
So the full moon, the full moon is actually at 5:23 p.m. this Thursday.
Mm.
So leading up until, especially with the moon in Aries too, until like the moon will be void of course. Here you can do a little test. Tomorrow the moon will be void of course at 8:25 in the morning. So you have kind of a dense but kind of a loosening of the emotional intensity. And then the moon goes into Taurus at 4:33 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. So from 8, pretty much if you have an 8-to-5 job or 9-to-5,
mm-hmm.
most of the workday tomorrow will be void of course. So it's actually probably not a bad day to, you may not feel real emotionally into what you're doing, but it's kind of a break. It kind of lets us recharge because there's not that emotional intensity. And with all the other intensity that's going out there, it's good for us to have these breaks. So that we don't, you know,
cool.
completely fry our adrenal glands, you know.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah. Right. So then leading up until 5:23 on Thursday when the full moon is, things will start to build, and then right after 5:23, and this is where I don't want to hack on anybody, but there's really bad astrology. There's some really bad astrology posts I see sometimes on Facebook. Cause it's very easy to just copy and paste and share and whatnot. And there's a lot of great astrologers that are my friends that are out there. There's tons of great astrologers out there. There's also some bad ones, just like anything else, who don't really know what they're doing. So the difference between a full, here's where you get at the full moon. The energies build. If you want to build energy towards something, then you, let's say if this was a smaller thing, you know, so between tomorrow after, tomorrow at 4:33 when the moon enters Taurus and is no longer void, of course, up until 5:23 on Thursday when the moon is full, there's pretty much a 24-hour period where the energy will be building if there's something you want to start or something you want to feed into. Now, right after the full moon, you don't get the full moon energy at 5:24 or 5. It's like it's a sudden drop off. It's not like a planetary station or something changing signs.
Okay.
Right after the full moon, there's a big energy drop off. It's like someone pulling the plug on. Because then the moon is then working towards the dark of the moon. The, the full moon is the... And there's another thing that where... Right, I see people maybe putting some correct information out there because they don't exactly know what they're doing. If you if you're wanting to catch here, let's use this week for an example. If you wanted to do a full moon ritual or something this week, because the full moon is at 5:23 on Thursday, don't set your full moon ritual for 8 o'clock on Thursday night. You've missed the boat. If you're wanting to capture it because there's a sudden drop-off, you're better off doing it Wednesday. If it's something you need to do at 8 o'clock in the evening because of people's work schedules and stuff, do it the day before, not after.
Okay. You hear that, folks, right?
Right. So if you're going to do a full moon ritual in the evening this week, you want to do it on Wednesday night, not on Thursday night, unless you can do it before 5:23 p.m. Because there's a drop-off of energy right after the moon.
So when you say drop-off of energy, even though the full moon is still present, it's present, correct?
Am I assuming? You'll still see it. It'll still look full a few minutes afterwards. But if you're actually trying to corral that energy, the energy is already loosening quickly.
I see what you're saying. So it's like loading up a big laser beam, and then all of a sudden it's shooting out, and then it just all you see is the...
Yes. Whereas when a planet stations or changes directions, you get that energy for like a week on either side, a little bit less on the back end. But, you know, when there's a planetary station, you'll get that energy the whole day and several days on either end. It's not the same thing as a full moon, and people try to use those kind of interchangeably, and it's not factually accurate.
Good
word.
This kitty's playing Candy Crush over there.
No.
I'm just joking.
So then we're... It's a little... We're moving into some strange energy here.
Okay.
Strange-er. Okay, so what we have coming up on the 10th and 11th is we have... goodness. So... next Monday, the 10th, at 6:03 p.m., this is all Eastern Standard Time, Mars is conjunct Pluto. So Mars being conjunct Pluto, Mars is action, aggression.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto is transformation, death, rebirth, transformation. It's the whole Scorpio energy. Scorpio is ruled by Pluto.
Okay.
So when you get a Mars and Pluto conjuncting, you see massive transformation. There's usually the news headlines are quite violent at that time as people are looking to challenge or overthrow things that are holding back their evolution or transformation. And if those are hit, those if that Mars-Pluto conjunction is hitting hard in somebody's chart, you know, hitting their Uranus or their Mars or Pluto, then those are kind of the people we see that snap or whatnot a little bit. And so then after that, going up to next or the following Saturday, which is the 16th, and we'll talk about that more next week, but Neptune stations, and that is a whole different energy that we'll spend some time next week, I think.
Very good.
Talking about, so.
Very good, Mark. I like that. So good information for those of you who want to get a hold of Mark. Where can they find you?
I will probably be at your local mental institution most
okay.
of the time.
Okay.
So
I can see Uranus from here.
I will be in padded room number 237.
That's our Mark, man.
So yeah, you can reach me at www.markmetheny.com. It's all these. Or you can email me at mmetheny1984@yahoo.com if you want to get home that way. Or you can find me on Facebook or probably on the wall at your local post office. There'll probably be a picture of me there.
Well, the reason I was playing the clips to make sure they were working, so they seem to be working pretty good. And
yeah, I believe that was user error last Friday.
Yeah, so they're doing pretty good. They were up really loud.
Yeah,
I looked at them, I'm like, whoa, no wonder it's like...
Yeah, I probably...
Because when I was listening to it, it was like... I was like, I was driving down the road. One came on, I was like,
Yeah, I probably had many people. There was probably a tree with a rope hanging off of it with my name on it last Friday. I would imagine it was.
Do people still get lynched?
I don't know.
Barefoot. They hang him upside down until he passes out.
From his feet.
Yeah.
Let the blood drain to his head.
You know, without getting too crazy morbid here, but, you know, there was a. I was talking to a young lady yesterday who works with grieving counseling, and she was talking to me. She's going to be on our show. Her name is Sarah. She'll be on our show here in the near future. And she was telling me that this year has been the highest rate of suicide of any year ever. And then especially when Robin Williams committed suicide, there was even a big lash of suicide. People just checking out and ready to go, so... There's things that are going on in the world, you know. There's things that are happening, and at some level it affects us all. I think Robin Williams affected us all to some degree. That here's a man who seemed to have it all, seemed to have a good family, seemed to have money, seemed to have a great career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but he wasn't happy. There was some part of him that couldn't resonate, just couldn't be in this world. And, you know, he had to do what he had to do. He did what he did, and... so do a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But she'll be on our show in the near future, and she'll be talking to us about, you know, places you can get help, assistance. And we actually did a drumming with her group, and we drummed with them over the couple weekends ago. We did a drumming for people who were grieving, who had loss, and we got good response about what we did and how we were involved in their program. And they invited us to come back and do more drumming with them. So it was really cool.
Oh.
It was awesome.
I would love to be involved with that.
Yeah.
That I'll tell you here. I'm gonna give a big shout out, and I'm also gonna beat somebody up too. Hospice.
Mm-hmm.
These people are kick ass. These people, you do hospice work. You are,
mm-hmm.
you are kick ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult stuff, and I know people have done that, and I've. Needed it in my immediate surroundings before. People who do hospice are, you guys rock. You guys rock on a level that I do not approach.
Yeah, my mom used to do hospice work.
That is amazing. And those people do such an incredible job. And I will just...
I really commend them.
Yeah, exactly. And so we... So years ago, my sister had a husband was very ill, and we had a hospice worker come in, and it was they were tremendous. And so I said I was going to beat somebody up too. There's a large corporation that rhymes with Nationwide that.
Okay.
That badgers their employees to donate to the United Way or something that rhymes with United. What rhymes with United Way?
Nations.
Yeah, so they badger their employees into donating to United Way and other things. And when we needed hospice care, we got cricket sounds, even though she'd worked for that company for like 30 years. So, a big screw you to them. And not to mention afterwards, they put out a big article in the newspaper about how, we do all this for our employees. And we do. Well, you know what? Kiss my ass, because we had somebody dying at home, and even though my sister had worked there for 30 years and donated every week, we got cricket sounds where we looked for help.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
There's your mirror spell. Look
yeah.
into it.
When I was looking for insurance coverage, because I get personal liability insurance and car insurance, they had one of the highest rates for everything, so that whatever rhymed with your
yeah.
company.
Yeah.
And I've heard so many bad things. One of my best friends worked for them for a while too, and she didn't really care working for them, but it was a paycheck.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
I don't like fakeness.
Mm-hmm.
I realize I'm a off the wall whack job half the time, but I try never to say stuff I don't mean,
mm-hmm.
and I try not to call anybody out that doesn't deserve it. And I try to be honest and true with the stuff that I'm saying, even though my opinions, I realize, do not reflect 80% of the masses most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to call out what I see as being the truth.
And there's companies out there that have a logo that they say they're in your favor, they're on your side, they're this or that. But when it comes down to brass tacks, no.
Absolutely.
They're not. They're for their own paycheck and for the 1%.
You don't like the stadiums we have built for us? You don't enjoy them?
Oh, yeah. I get to go there and have a picnic every week.
What? Shoot.
Yeah.
I can't.
Don't you like that big billion-dollar building they built?
Can't afford tickets to most things, you know.
I mean,
unless,
you know, I really think about that kind of stuff, and I'm going, do we really need a stadium? Do we really need this? I mean, it's organized.
Right.
Some people said that's just the mafia just went into, you know, organized, swindling and it used to be illegal to have insurance
mm-hmm.
years ago. If you do your research, you'll find that, you know, the government.
Money going into somebody's pocket.
I've
never caused an accident in my life.
Yep.
Never. Nothing on my record. Maybe a few parking tickets. That's it.
Yep.
But every month, like clockwork, $50-$60 is taken out of my bank account
mm-hmm.
to go to car insurance or...
But it's gambling.
You
you're
know.
Gambling against yourself.
Exactly.
You're gambling
exactly.
that you're not going to have an accident. And the insurance company's gambling that you're not going to have an accident either. But, you know, you're gambling that you're playing the wagers. You're playing the game.
They don't care that I live off of less than $800 a month.
They don't
you know?
Care.
It's just like, you know, I know things are going to get better financially for me, but still, it's just $60 I could be using to get a tune-up on my car
right.
or
it's almost
or give to someone needy or, you know.
Right. It's almost like counterintuitive or an oxymoron where you're paying
the 1%
to help protect yourself from something bad happening or so. I mean, it's, and I understand some things can be catastrophic and the money,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
the money would be so much that would wipe you. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird relationship.
Yeah. I have a good, my insurance company has Farm in its name.
Mm-hmm.
So does mine.
You know, a lot
and
of it.
The best, and they've had the best rate so far and the people were nice and sweet. When I talk to them.
I think just things have just become unregulated. They're not. There's no regulation for them. And then when we regulate them, then it becomes even their excuse is, we're regulated, so we have to do this way or that way. There's a kind of a weirdness that plays out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it's like cell phones, you know. I think they're just so super overrated. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Sure.
You should not have to pay $800. You know, some families pay $800, $600 a month for a whole family to have a phone.
Yeah.
And you know, you have your phone by yourself is like $80.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the cable. Then it's not including the cable. So it's kind
right.
of like, you know, you have all these things. Do you really need them?
Yeah, there's...
But...
How much is going out?
No, but I'm just saying, but do you really need them? But
no.
To some degree, once you have them, you have to have them.
Mm-hmm. Right, you get dependent on.
That's why they have those bundles. You got the cable, you got the phone, you got the internet, you got all this bundled up. And at one time, I had all that when I was working, and it was like almost, it was $160 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And even for my salary, I was working a good job back then. That was kind of high, you know, for a single person. And now you got these families. What are y'all paying, like $600-$700 for cable, TV, internet, all that, and $500?
Well, we don't pay that, but the phones and stuff add up pretty quick.
Right, right.
You know, because everything is it's unlimited. That's their nice word they use.
Unlimited.
Oh, it's unlimited.
Well, that's the whole ploy of marketing, is to get people to believe they need something that they don't really need.
Mm-hmm.
You have to create
the need.
Product need, and then you have to create product scarcity so that you can keep your prices.
Oh, I got to have that. I got to wait in line a whole month to get the new phone.
But I'll tell you that, you know, they really feed on kids and young people the most. I watch it, you know,
it a lot. New Xbox is coming out.
I coach in a suburban school, so the money's a little different than an urban school. And I remember the iPhone 6 came out. It was just recently. This is this year. You know, I still have two generations back. I think you have somebody else has four. I have like five something. But
yeah, I have three. I have the S3.
And so the next thing I know...
Galaxy 3.
The next thing I know...
That's what I have.
These kids, you know, we're practicing, and then all these kids, some of my kids are off to the side. Oh, and they're looking at the cell phone. And I'm going, what are you guys doing? She goes, oh, we just got the cell phone, the iPhone 6. I'm like, we're practicing. Get into practice. Oh, okay, sorry. But, you know, they're just so, it was like, it was other kids that weren't on a team were coming over to see the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It was like five kids. I was like, it's just a phone, guys. Guys, it's just a phone. And they're middle school kids. I didn't have a cell phone when I was in middle school.
Me either.
You know?
In general, I don't even trust new technology. Because in my experience where I've run out and bought something that was brand new, the one or two times in my life I've done, it's like it's full of glitches,
even just
with new softwares and stuff. And it's like, you know what, when the new stuff comes out, I'll buy the previous year's or 2 or 3 years back model next time I need an upgrade. Because like to me, the brand new thing on the market, whatever, whether it's a pharmaceutical or a phone or software or whatever, they've rushed it out to beat somebody else who had something coming out, and they have not fixed all the glitches on it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'll upgrade to a couple models back previous and then let them fix out the kinks with their new stuff. And then,
yeah, I remember when phones were 10 cents, you know, you'd go to the payphone, we'd have 10 cents in our pockets, so we had to go home or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, turned 15. And then eventually got to 25. I think it topped out at 35 and then 50 cents if there's one, it went around.
Because right. Mom would give us money, like we go to the rec center or the swimming pool or something, and she'd give us an extra 10 cents or so to call to get a ride home.
And there was a line to use the phone, but it was cool, though. You know, I mean, it was like, we were kids. We were having fun and enjoying life, you know, doing the things we do. You know, it was one of those cool things, running around, being
playground.
Goofy. We had to create our own, you know, you know, video game lifestyle, you know, to do things, horsing around, running through the alleys, going through the park,
Pong.
You know. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we'd hit the video game parlor for a while. We spent a roller coasters there. We had it.
Arcade. Downtown, there was one on High Street, downtown Columbus. It was like a little south of Lazarus area, whatnot. There was a little storefront that had, and we'd go there and get a roll of dimes and later quarters and go play the arcade game.
We used to go to Halftime or Flamingo. They used to be on High Street between Lane Avenue and there, in that little stretch. It was two video parlors. Flamingo was cool because they had the most of the newer stuff, but Time Out was actually cool because they actually had older games as well. And so, you know, I remember one time we were going to baseball practice, all kids were walking, and I had this roll of quarters and I had to beat this game. And everybody went to practice, and I did a detour into the. I got in trouble though, because the next day they didn't know where I was at. They're like, "Oh, we lost you," and the coach was upset with me. I was in there playing. What was it? It was like Dragon Slayer or something. It was a game called Dragon. Do you remember Dragon Slayer?
I remember
that. And then basically it was like one of the first CD games, but everything was a pattern. So if you put left or right, the guy travels through a certain path, you know.
Right.
But if you push the wrong way, it takes you to another scene and you die or whatever. But we learn the path. We learn the, you know, the...
You memorize those paths.
Yeah.
And you can beat the...
And it was really cool. It was really cool to see that, you know, you're fighting. it was like new technology. It was like it was really cool. But today I can't play video games today. I tried to play some of these video games, and you have to use almost every finger on your hand.
Yeah, it's
I can't
way
get it
too
either.
Complicated.
You know, my son's like, oh yeah, just turn like this, Dad. I'm like, I just the hand the eye hand
coordination
is there, but it's there in a different way. You know, it's like I actually have to watch the screen, and then I actually have to become this character online, basically on the screen. Before I controlled the character, there's one thing to control the character, but now I have to become the character.
We come from Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Frogger age.
Yeah, we're like the 2D world, right? Flat screen.
I used to get a corn on my fingers or my thumb from playing Pac-Man and Mrs. Pac-Man. And use a roll of quarters a week or something. I had to limit myself so I wouldn't spend up my whole allowance or something.
But, you know, that's kind of where we're evolving constantly. That's kind of like the metaphysical community we're into. We're evolving as well. The younger people are coming in. The things that the older people weren't willing to do or were afraid to do, I am watching the younger people who are going into our community, coming into our community, are actually doing that. I made a comment to you guys yesterday that there was a group of kids who are way younger than us. We've talked about intentional community for I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they actually went out and did it. They just actually went out and they just actually read books and watched videos about how the old hippies used to do it. They just got into apartment complex together and they all lived together. Eventually they got a bigger house and next thing you know, they're out in the country, find a country home, you know, out there, and they all live together. They just do it. Sometimes, you know,
you just gotta get up and do it.
You know, I mean, I hate to say that word that rhymes with Mikey, you know, but, you know, just do it, you know. You know, just do it. Get out there and just do it.
Get involved. Get out, make your dreams come true.
And kids teach us, you know. I mean, we don't give kids enough credit sometimes. I think children have a wisdom that is, you know, it's unspoken wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they don't even know they're doing it. But I watch kids, and I watch my kids, you know, and I'm like, I watch them go through the little struggle that they do, but then they come back around, and then they come with these real profound things that they say or profound things they do. As adults, sometimes we're not listening, we're not paying, because we think we're the ones that have to teach them the knowledge. But our kids have a lot to teach us. Our kids have a lot to show us.
These younger people with the Pluto and Scorpio generation that's in their 20s now, and then the Pluto and Sagittarius after that, the next younger generation, these people are just wired differently, and they get stuff so much quicker. I feel like our generation is kind of, we have a lot of that stuff from our parents, where we have the mentality of hard work and, you know, good work ethic, and that's good. But I think sometimes we just, I mean, people our age, I mean, let's face it, we're our own worst enemies a lot of times.
Yes.
We hold ourselves back because parts of us are still stuck in this old paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just give a short example of this. When I my last 9-to-5 job I had, there were some people that were my age and a little bit older, and they would see the young kids come in, you know, younger people, and they would not maybe put out the effort that, you know, some of us older people did and stuff. And, you know, I'd hear that, you know, kids these days don't, you know, they don't have the work ethic and the whatnot. And I was like, you know what, maybe this is true. But on the other hand, we have so enslaved ourselves to corporations that I don't think they're the dumb ones. I think we might be. Loyalty is a great thing, and I'm a very loyal person to my friends. And if I work for a company that treats me well, but you know what? We take a lot of abuse, and that's not the fault of the corporations. That's our fault for putting up with it.
Mm-hmm.
So do these young kids maybe have the work ethic that some of us older people don't or do? No, maybe they don't, but they're also, they don't put up with the BS that we do. And in the long run, they're going to be better off for them. I mean, because Pluto and Scorpio is about transforming, it's about transformation. It's up to them to set up, because when we're dead and gone, they're still going to be here.
Yeah.
You know? So they need to set up the workplace environment, the corporate standards for the future down longer than as long as we're going to be here. So, you know what? If you don't go give your all for a corporation that doesn't appreciate you, then, you know what? Thumbs up to you, buddy.
That's a great point. You know, that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it, if you go back in time, let's go back to the 60s and 70s, okay? The generation, we were kids then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. And so, but then you had the hippies and you had the conservatives and they're all kind of, everybody had their point. They had a chance to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
They had the chance to change the world. But what happened? A lot of them just, you know.
Sold out at a certain.
They sold out, man.
Tried to change the world for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then got disillusioned.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them sold out. And
mm-hmm. and some of them are still fighting the good fight. You know, they're doing,
right,
they're
absolutely.
Still there. And that's
yeah,
why
absolutely.
These kids are able to see the world in a different light. But I think there's going to be a generation that's going to come here and it's going to rock this country.
Yep.
They're going to say, you know what? I'm sorry, great-grandpa, but you know what? You guys are stupid.
Right.
You know, and I won't mind when I hear that word stupid, you know? I won't mind because, you know what? It just shows me that, you know,
right.
that their enlightenment at that moment, waking up and saying, okay, it's time for a change. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
We've sold out. And we sold out because we still live in the same kind of houses. We still live in the same neighborhoods. We still do the same stupid stuff. This is my perception, something, but you know, how I'm looking at life. But we're still doing all the same crap. We're bitching about that we're burning fossil
yep.
fuels. We're complaining that we don't have enough solar panels. You know what? Why don't you go out and buy a freaking solar panel, put it on your house, you know?
And
quit talking about it, you know?
Right, exactly.
Hook it up to your freaking meter and just do it, you know?
Right.
Well, we can't afford it. Well, you know what? You can buy one and put it in your car and, you know, use it, you know, to, you know, generate electricity for your cell
right.
phone or whatever. You know, I'm just tired of people with excuses. I'm just tired of hearing all the same story
right.
over and over.
The
oh,
same.
I have no money. I'm broke. La, la, la. Well, you know what? If you're broke, then figure out a way to get unbroke, okay?
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, because I would get...
Same crap, different toilet.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like, all right, man. Magical guano ride.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like,
right.
I mean, that was the story I told in the sweat lodge. You know, guano falls on the ground, fertilizes the ground, you know, the deer eats it, the deer falls, dies, the bird eats on the guano. We come back and we recycle, but pieces and parts of us are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's what you take in the story and what you want to pull out of it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I'm glad you brought the mask today because it makes an important message that there are people who can see through this veil that's been put in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And, but, you know, I believe that all of us are duped. Even the ones who walk in the light are duped, too, because, you know, we have our things that dupe us as well. You know, if we're not in the light, then we're not on track. I run to people like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got to be in the light because, you know, that's cool for you. That's good. But I want to be pissed off right now because, you know, I need to vent that out of my system. I can't toxically hold on to that. I need to let it go. I'm not going to spew it on you.
Yeah.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
But you know
right.
what? I'm going to go over here.
Sometimes things get buried, and then yeah. later they come up at a time that's inconvenient. So might as well just get it out
right.
when you can.
So what will take America to come out of this crisis? What will take the world to come out of this crisis? I mean, you go overseas, and some of the most richest families are just living a life of, you know, that we'll never, ever have in this particular lifetime. And, you know, they create a system for us to live in. You know, they corral us in this little system, and they put us in these little pockets, and you know what? And a lot of us are content here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, it's comfortable. We don't have to do anything. And, you
we've
know,
created
ooh.
A comfort zone
yeah.
to where we don't have to get out of it.
I'm not comfortable, man. I'm very uncomfortable in this
yep.
little comfort zone, you know?
Yep.
Because I want to do and I want to share the things that I have with the world. But the world is not receptive because they've been told that, you know, what we're doing is new agey or that's satanic or he's a witch.
Yeah,
he's
right,
a,
I know.
You know.
What we're doing is very, very ancient. It's been around since the beginning of time.
Right, right.
Yeah, new age. That's old age, brother. That's been around before you.
Right.
Christianity was even around.
This
you know?
Is,
so what are you talking about?
This was the stuff people sat and talked about a
yeah.
thousand years ago before the corporations and everything, the governments had enough money to put out fear propaganda and disconnect us from our, you know, our true reality, what we really are.
And one of the first, if you want to look at it as a corporation or something, is the people that sat around a table and made the rules for us, the Mycenaean Council. Group of European men sitting around a table saying, this is the way religion is going to be, and this is how we're going to do it, and we're going to put these books together, and we're only going to let them, we're not even going to let the peasants read it. so, mm-hmm. and we're going to put it in this language to where only educated people who know Latin can read this book,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. You know, if you want to look at it that way, they were controlling the masses right there at that council, what, about 200, not 200,
no,
well, that's
1,500 years ago, maybe.
That's the council that put together the books of the Bible.
Right.
Right. So, yeah,
the
Council of Nicaea was mm-hmm. the most corrupt organ. They were like the Bilderberg group mm-hmm. now. They were like the most corrupt group of people on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
They were the mafia from back then.
And they set up the rules and regulations
yes.
for
yes.
Christianity, which there shouldn't have been any rules because
right.
it's infinite divine knowledge that God
right.
put out for everybody, no matter who and what you are, in power. And once people find that out and come into their power and that divine knowledge, then it's like freedom. That's the way when the Anointed One came to this earth, the peacemaker, he came here for that person to set people free, to have the power, to use their power, to come into their power.
Mm-hmm.
And no, let's control it and regulate people. You know, no. Once people really find out their power and who they are,
yes,
and their freedom,
yes,
there's nothing you can't do. If
on that, no, excellent.
That's the preacher in me.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm. Excellent point. On that same note, as if I don't get myself in enough trouble. What are you guys voting today?
I already did.
I haven't decided yet.
That's right. I was thinking about
what,
it.
6 o'clock or
I think it's 7 or something.
What, did you vote?
I have not gone yet. I am. I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
I normally do.
I still love you, whether you do or don't.
I do have a couple beefs with it. There's a lot. I think voting has more BS rhetoric and propaganda around it than about anything, because there's so many, you know, you hear the things, well, if you don't go vote, you don't have the right to bitch later, and I'm sure I'm going to get people screaming at me for this, but
yeah.
you know,
I don't
think it's right that every 4 years we try to corral everyone we can and get them to go vote when they have not studied the topics for the last 3 years and 364 days.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not right. Because me, I follow politics 365.
Yeah.
And you know, politics, poly is meaning ticks are little small blood-sucking insects.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you want to break down the word politics,
or what you said
so,
first, poly dicks.
But I follow
many dicks. That's who's running the world.
But I follow stuff 365 a year, all year long, and I don't listen to what any politician says. I look up their voting record. I don't watch this, and I see posts, a lot of political posts that upset me on Facebook. Like, we should respect the members of Congress, or we should respect the president, or dude, specs earned with me.
Yeah.
I don't care that you can put on a suit and tie and get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't get respect from me.
Mm-mm.
You got to earn it, dude.
Respect earns respect.
Exactly.
That's exactly.
Old. You've got to earn, you don't
you
get it just because you have some title where
true.
Some whatever rigged voting machine gave you the higher number of votes, or you were selected by some secret committee to have whatever position.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so to me, and you know, there are ways of I don't think anything, I'm just going to, I'm already spewing.
Mind.
I'm just
going to,
I don't think our country can be fixed by voting. I think we're past that point.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this 100%.
We need to kill everybody and start new.
No, I guess we need to, when you're in that dimensional frequency, you're not going to fix it. You have to think outside the, for any problem, emotional, physical, mental, 3D, whatever, you have to, you cannot solve a problem with the same mentality that it was created. When they get us, exactly, when they get us to go in and vote for one of two parties, which are actually disguised as the same,
they're
actually
all
one party disguised as two because they have the same exact agenda, and that is keeping you from realizing your power. Then we're feeding into the system. When I mean, it just kills me when people want to make change and they go vote for a Democrat because they don't like the last Republican, or they go vote for a Republican because they don't like the last Democrat that was in there. And I'm like, you're feeding into the system. Both
and
parties are
puppets.
The same. And you think you're going, you want to make change. We can make change. But please do not tell me that just voting against or for one of two parties that don't give a shit about you is going to evoke any kind of change. Please, I am not 8 years old anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a better argument than that for me. And people will say, you know, well, if you vote for a third part, here's some ways. If we could get everyone on board, here are some ways through that system that we could change things. A, everyone go vote for a third party candidate. Doesn't have to be my third party candidate or your third party candidate or whoever. Every year, there's tons of people that run for offices that are not one of a Democrat or Republican. And if you go in and look at their beliefs and things they have voted on and whatnot, you'll find that their beliefs probably fit yours better than one from the two puppet candidates, you know, or from the puppet parties.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to change things through voting, go out and vote for anyone. I don't care if he's the head of the frickin' Satanist party or people for Eskimos with three penises. I don't care what party it is.
I get you.
If you vote against the two big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make change, go vote for someone outside. Because you're not going to get anything different when you keep voting for the two big guys that don't care about you.
Yeah.
Second option of change stuff is 1 year, nobody vote.
Nobody.
I would love to see 1 year. I would love to see not one single vote cast. Because we've got to tell them that we're onto their game. We've got to dispel the two-party system. And you can't do it by just going, oh, I don't like that last Republican, or oh, I don't like that last Democrat.
There'll be people going, well, that's un-American, and that's my right to vote. And, you know, there's always people who buy into the hype.
Right.
You know, and I agree. You know, it's your right to vote. Yeah, it's your right to vote.
Absolutely.
It's your right to not vote also.
Not to vote.
Absolutely. Just don't tell me that you're affecting change by voting for one of two parties which have the same agenda.
Now, on one note, I do vote because of things that's happened personally in my family.
Absolutely.
And people that personally affected me to where I do exercise my right. One thing is that I bring this up is the civil rights movement, because my parents, I was in utero at the Martin Luther King rally in Washington, D.C., and my parents attended that rally, and that means much to me. Another reason is I had a great uncle that was literally almost beat to death for trying to exercise his right to vote. And different things that happened on my Negro, as we were called back then, side of the family. So those are reasons why I exercised my right to vote. And also, I exercised my right to vote because I do have some people that I personally know and who's personally done some favors for me who are on the candidature list that are on the ballot. So those are reasons why, but I don't vote for everything and everybody. And then I also, and I don't vote a straight party ticket. Mine is very, very mixed up. And then one thing I do, too, I don't talk politics really too much with my friends on who I'm for, who I'm against. And when people ask me things, I say, it's a secret ballot. There's a reason why we go in and it's a nobody looks at who you vote for or what you do, because it's a personal, private thing. And for me, it's that way, too. And if you decide to vote or not vote, you know, that's between you and your higher power or whoever you answer to or whatever like that. And but my reasons for voting are what I said, and because it's a personal thing to me, it's a personal part of my family, and I wish things were right. And just like I said earlier, I wish, don't put me on any hit list for CIA or Secret Service. I do have members who are in those groups in my family also. I don't, you know, I wish we can just get rid of everybody and start over that's in the Congress and the House and the President and all that, because all those people need to leave, and people that really mean stuff and want to run this country the way it was set to be run, like a democracy, somebody needs to come in. And there was even a guy they had on the TV yesterday who wanted to come in. He said, America needs to be put under Sharia law.
Whatever.
Fat chance that'll ever happen, because I am not wearing a burqa, and I am not going to be subjugated to any man. You know, even if I had a husband, which I don't have and I've never married, it would be a partnership. It would not be, I'm under your thumb, you know, you have to answer to me, I'm going to get beat. No, honey, you're going to draw back a stub if you ever try to beat me or stone me. I will try my best to knock the S out of any man that tries to, because I've seen it too much in the past, mm-hmm. in my family and other places. I do not take any abuse of any kind, and not even, I try not to take it from my government or any friends. So, sorry, I'm one of those independent,
mm-hmm.
free-thinking woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, and then the other extreme is this, you know, people say a vote for a third party is a lost vote. I've heard that a lot.
That's crap.
And, you know, when you take a vote for a Democrat or Republican, you're voting for the same shit over again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're doing the same. You're just putting, you're actually part of the problem.
You're encouraging the problem.
Yeah, you're actually part of the problem by voting the same idiots back in the same spot.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, yep. Let's put him back in there since there's nobody good on this side. They're, you know, they brainwash you. Oh,
right.
It's either Democrat or Republican. Oh, we don't want to go. Those guys are radicals. Those guys are extremists. Those guys are like, you know, people, I would love you guys to watch the news from other countries and how people look at us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would be really surprised.
Oh,
you, if you watch the Russian or Chinese or Peruvian news, and you watch, you would be like,
they probably laugh at us.
Oh no, it's just it blows your mind. You're like, that's our country from their perspective and how they see us, and it's amazing. You know, they call the radical group Democrats, and you know, the Republican extremists. You know, it's the words they use. It's just like, you know, it's amazing. It blew my mind when I was listening to it.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, I do vote sometimes for a Democrat or a Republican candidate. I have friends that run for office and stuff too, and they've run for things. So I do not want to give the impression I've never voted for a, but I will not, the majority of my vote, if there's somebody, I do believe there's a few good people of the two major parties. There's some good people here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally understand voting for that, or voting for, you know, somebody you know. I have friends that have run for office and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But I'm just saying, in general, outside of the status quo, if you want to affect change, you're not going to do it by putting a whole bunch. I mean, and here's the real kicker to me. I mean, Congress has what's their approval rating right now? Like 7%, 9%, I think. I mean, it's like the lowest ever, and traditionally, I guarantee you that 70% of them at least will get voted back in. So who's stupid here?
And then it looks like the what's going on too is it always switches around too. If the majority of Democrats are in office, then the next round, then the Republicans will be in office.
Right.
And they just keep batting the ball back and forth.
Right. They just demonize the other side. And it's like, oh, this party will fix it this time.
Just a tennis game going on.
Right.
Between the Democrats and Republicans and the blame game, they blame it back and forth. And whoever's next in line inherits the last party's the last group's problems. And they blame it on the whoever's in office now instead of the And it just keeps going back and forth. And that's why I say, why don't we just line everybody up, take an automatic gun. I hate to say that and just
if you doubt any of this,
because we're civilized, we don't do that.
Just follow the history of NAFTA. Follow the history of NAFTA. It was initiated with, I think the first inklings were with Reagan, I believe, was the first.
NAFTA and CAFTA both.
Right, right, right. I mean, free trade agreements are not good.
They're not good.
At all. Fair trade agreements are good. All that free trade agreements do is lower everything. They have to make it free, they have to lower it to the lowest common denominator. Name anything on earth ever in the use all of history of the earth as your test. When has the lowest common denominator ever been good for anything?
Right. Well, what people don't realize that NAFTA, there's some of those free trade agreements, they have actually put, you know, there's carrier things that go along with it. There's actually things about indigenous cultures where they're not allowed to produce some of their foods anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the seeds have to be destroyed.
Yep.
And free trade does that. You know, it causes people to lose their home. It causes people to, you know, it's been passed, though. That's the thing. The thing is, it's both been passed.
Right. And that's a perfect example of how both parties have the same exact agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I believe NAFTA was passed when Reagan was in office, and the Democrats demonized him. And then Clinton got in office, and then the Republicans demonized Clinton because Clinton was going to get rid of it and didn't, and the Republicans demonized him. Then Bush got in office. Bush said he was going to get rid of NAFTA because the Democrats were demonizing NAFTA, and Bush never did get rid of it. And then Obama's first promise when he was here in Columbus campaigning before the first election was he promised to get rid of NAFTA.
It just keeps getting passed. Passing the butt.
Well, nobody wants to go down in history being the guy that either saved the world or screwed the world.
Right.
Because, you know, you have these analysts on both sides going, no, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a domino effect. And then it's like, oh, no, if you do this, it'd be great. It's better to be in the gray area and say, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to be kind of like,
right,
do this, you know, hand
I'm
here,
gonna
hand.
Pretend
like
I'm doing something while not doing anything.
You know, and being president is like the closest thing to being king in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, president doesn't have a whole lot of power, but when he does have power, he can use it when he invokes it.
I just can't wait to be king.
You don't become president to make money. You know, you don't go in there for the salary. You know, you go in there for the prestige and for the history books and, you know, to be recognized a leader of your country. You represent the country.
Mm-hmm.
So when people blame Obama, Bush, Reagan,
it's like telling
the guy who owns the company, you know, you poisoned everybody. Oh, I didn't poison anybody. My employees did. It doesn't matter. He still gets the beef. You know, he still goes down, you know, because he owns the company.
I mean, I'm not an Obama fan, but I see these people post things saying, oh, Obama's to blame for this and everything. And I'm like, you're still not getting it.
Yeah.
you still don't get it.
That's
who do we have coming now,
Smoke and mirrors. You know, they want you to go on Obama. They want you to go on this guy because, you know what, it takes it away from them. Now you're not looking at them, the people who are really doing the crap behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Obama's a puppet. They took him to the basement and they told him, hey, how you doing? You know, you're the first black president in America. We just want you to know that. But you're also white, too, so we want to remind you that. We don't want you to forget that. And you know what? You're going to do what we tell you to do, okay? Is that all right?
That? Yeah. Poor guy's gray. He went into the office. What happens to these presidents? They go into the office with nice black, brown, or blonde hair, and they come out gray or white as a ghost.
When there's another government beneath our government, within the infrastructure of our government, and when someone can walk into your office unannounced and tell you, hey, what's going on? Just want to let you know,
this is your agenda.
This is what you're going to do today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I don't want to do that.
And who's going to be our next puppet?
Then they're shown a tape of the Zapruder film that has not been released to the general
public. Or
their
reptilian heritage.
You know,
I
really believe that they've, I don't want to use the word threatened, but I believe that they get put in a compromising position.
I agree.
And what happens is, I don't necessarily say they're going to do anything to their family, but they'll do this. They'll go, you know, it'd be nice to have the Republicans in here for another 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Versus,
well,
about 12.
Not saying to that,
but you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
They're playing political bullying.
Yep.
You know, I ran for office, so I saw this stuff. You know, I saw them going, well, let our guy win. You know, well, you don't got anybody. They would say stuff like that. Well, you really don't have any candidate. You know,
so,
but they can make candidates.
Who
they
have?
Can, they are the kingmakers, man.
The
they can
people.
Make kings, Katie. They can make a king. They
yep.
can take you and make you so popular and put you out there if they truly want to. They could take Mark.
Just
take,
like, you know, those movies about presidents,
the
like they did with Chris
dog.
Rock. And
oh,
the one
yeah.
Chris Rock was in, or the one Robin Williams was in one. Where
well, remember Eddie Murphy
him,
was in one.
Yeah, where they
remember.
Made him president. And or
he took the guy's old signs. He had the same name. He ran for office and he won. And,
yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
they're kingmakers. You know, they're spin doctors. They're the ones that, you know, they...
Best one is Wag the Dog.
Okay,
I have to
yeah.
watch. I don't think I've watched that one.
Oh. Yeah.
I think
amazing.
I saw it a long time
but
ago.
We're not the only ones to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They do that everywhere.
Yep.
All the countries do this.
Yep.
There are some top... Illuminati or someone, not just using that as a reference, that takes and they're the ones that's behind everything.
You know,
some big secret organization that's
yeah.
behind all the kings, queens, presidents, and whatever of the world.
Well, you know, most people don't realize that the royal family is actually German.
Yep.
You know, they're from Germany. You
mm-hmm.
know, they live in England. They're English because they were born there. But their heritage is German heritage. If you go back and study their
correct.
Lineage, their German lineage. So they have a lot. There's a lot we can get into, but, you know, we don't have enough time.
Oh,
but.
Yeah, because I found out part of my family, we I always thought we were just, you know, pure Irish. And, no, we're part Saxon, so we're
mm-hmm.
that's a German heritage. And I'm like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Even knowing that I got Jewish heritage, too, and it's just like, ooh, you know, what the Germans did.
I think what happens
you know,
is people
like,
associate with labels. Some labels are just really cool to be part of, you know?
Yep.
Well, I'm German, you know? So I'm German, I'm strong, and I'm dominant, and I can crush you.
It's like Saxon.
I'm Jewish because I'm the chosen one. I'm the 150
right.
that will be picked to go to heaven, you know?
Right.
Or I'm Latino, man, and I can dance, you know what I'm saying? You know, just,
right.
You know, we all have this. We attach ourselves to these ideals and these backgrounds of who we believe we are. In the end... excuse me, we are just human beings. We are just rot fleshing beings. We die and we rot and we
mm-hmm.
go back to the ground. I hate to report
we're
that to
guano.
Everybody. We're magical guano, okay? All right. Now where your soul goes.
There's one message we could leave you with today.
Yes.
It's we're all
batshit crazy.
Yeah. Now, why this show spun off this way? Because it's election day. That's
yeah.
why. It's election day. We want you to go out and make a decision, an informed decision on the people you're going to vote for, regardless if you know anything about them. You know, if you want to vote just because you like to vote, then do it. You know, if you want to vote because
close your
it's
eyes
important
and push
to you,
the
do
button.
It. You know, I'm probably going to go in there and vote third party for myself personally or write some write-in candidate, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm going to
yep.
go in there and do something. You know, at least my ego will say, you did something. Hey, Iggy, yay! You know, part of me says that I was part of the solution and also part of the problem. So I'm all mixed up right now. But
yeah.
it is election day, 2014.
I did a mixed ticket, so.
Yep. And I am going to try and get over and vote this afternoon.
But, you know, our show is starting to wind down, so I'd like to give you both an opportunity to share whatever's on your mind real quick.
Mine is, which puppet are you going to choose next? Will it be Kris Krispy Kreme? Will it be... Jeb Bush, will it be Mrs. Hillary
God.
Clinton or some other odd puppetry person?
All right.
So, you know, we got 4 years to think about. What is it? 4 years to think about it?
Two years
to think about it?
There's usually two and four. Two and four.
God help us all. Pray.
Yeah. Congressional races are in a couple years.
But my last word to you all is, like I love to say, be good to yourself and to others.
Very good. Well, before I ask Mark his closing statement, I wanted to say in Brazil, it's in Peru too, you have to vote. It's illegal. You have to vote. You cannot not vote. You'll get fined or imprisoned.
Oh, wow.
In Brazil, they actually have Jesus running for office.
Okay.
And they have this lawyer who's got laser beams in his eyes. I saw this on TV. And they voted for an animal one time. They won, but he couldn't take the position because he was an animal. But they got him on the ballot, and the people voted for him. But, all right. Enough of that. Closing thoughts.
I saw somebody who was running for like president or something in It was like Germany didn't just have their elections, but it was like Poland or It was somewhere in like Eastern Europe. But the dude actually, he was actually dressed in the Darth Vader outfit.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, is that someone I would
president.
Vote for?
Luke.
I'm running for president of the universe.
I am your Faja.
Any closing thoughts, Austin Powers?
Oh, dear.
Man of Mystery? Wabbit?
Oh, I think I've probably already shot myself in the foot today. Yeah. You know what? Vote your conscience, and just remember, the people that try to talk you out of your vote, you know, it's not about which candidate. For me, this is my personal belief, it's not about trying to guess which candidate is going to win or voting for the candidate you think it's going to win. If I have someone I like, I do not get bullied out of my vote because he may or may not get enough official votes to win. Mm-hmm. I vote to make a statement, just like pretty much everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do to make a statement,
mm-hmm.
which will invariably offend some people.
Hey,
but
that's their problem.
You're not going to get me to give up making my statement so that I can try and vote for whichever candidate of the two upper parties I think is going to win. So, do what thou wilt.
Well, folks, I want you to go out there and just do the best you can every day. There's not a whole lot that really changes in our lives unless we make them change. So if you want to see change in the world, you're going to have to be that first step. Is voting one of those? Possibly. Is picking up the trash in your yard? Possibly. Putting a solar panel in your yard? Is that a start? Yeah, those are all starts. There's all different paths and different ways of doing things. So go out there and be creative. The thing is, let's be creative about it, you know. We know we're living in the situations we're in, so let's see if we can do something different. Let's see if we can drive the other direction instead of going this direction. Let's just not get predictable. Let's play with ourselves a little bit. That didn't sound right. But, you know, let's go out there and just do something different, you know, as the crowd cheers on that one.
I think,
they like that one.
I think we've got that one covered.
Yeah.
Or if not, get a friend to play with you.
Ooh, it's 111.
I'm stuck now because I can't get out of that train of thought.
Look, if you're having a bad day out there, look at the bright side. At least you're not as crazy as the three of us are.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We're a couple of loons, or triple loons. Triple loons.
Where'd it go?
Yeah, we kept it on track for a little while at least.
At least we're not polydicks. Like that. Like an Eskimo.
I'm hunched over.
Lost. Time to go now.
Katie, I like that.
All right, folks, that's a wrap.